thanks for being here. It's a big deal because I know that most people don't come to a women's conference expecting to come to a talk about pornography. It's a little off-putting. And, you know, I know you could be out there throwing hatchets or having a shake by the lake or taking a nap. So it means a lot to me that you showed up because the truth is nobody really wants to talk about porn. But you were courageous and you showed up here and I appreciate it. It means a lot to me. I never imagined myself being here, standing on a stage in front of people talking about pornography. For most of my life, I don't think I could have imagined saying just the word sex in front of a group of people. But to say and to have a whole conversation about pornography, just, it still boggles my mind. But here we are, and we're going to do it together. It's going to be okay. We can do this, all right? I grew up in a Christian home. I asked Jesus into my heart when I was 3 years old. I still remember talking to my mom, although my dad recently says he was sure it was him. So there's a little discrepancy in the story, but I remember my mom and telling her, "Mom, I want to ask Jesus into my heart." We were in the kitchen, and I still remember that moment. And my parents did a wonderful job giving my brother and sister and I just a really safe and beautiful childhood. We sort of lived in a little bubble, and it was wonderful. And the only problem was that there wasn't a lot of talk about sex, good or bad. We were just really sheltered, and that was great, but there are some drawbacks to that. But part of the reason that they were able to give us such minimal information, really, about anything to do with sex, good or bad, is that at that time, pornography really wasn't much of an issue, or I should say as much of an issue as it is now. Because at that time, you had to work a lot harder to find pornography. You had to look for it in magazines or go behind the curtain in the adult bookstore where other people could see that you were going to partake in it. It wasn't accessible so easily the way it is now. And so my parents could get away with giving us minimal information and then not really having to talk about it again. It was a different time. We don't live in that world anymore. We just don't have the luxury of saying nothing or next to nothing or assuming that if our kids stumble on pornography, that's really not going to be that big of a deal and they'll probably be fine. Because the reality is, it's much different now than it was then. Statistics tell us that 93% of boys and 62% of girls view porn before they're 18. He does not bother me at all. I love babies, so let him talk. He's fine. He's just cheering me on. At 51% of male students and 32% of female students first view porn before their teen years. And 64% of young people ages 13 to 24 actively seek out pornography. Josh McDowell, who's one of my favorite authors on this topic and speakers, he's a passionate voice in the fight against pornography. He says that he believes pornography is the greatest threat to Christian faith in the history of the world. That's a pretty bold statement, but I think that it's true. We have to face these really uncomfortable facts and have this uncomfortable conversation so that we can do something to make a positive change. If we say nothing, if we do nothing, if we hide from the discomfort and the fear that we all feel regarding pornography, then nothing's going to happen except that we'll get worse. But by being here, you guys are taking a step in the right direction to say, I want to make a change. I want to make a change for the better. And I know that it's awkward. We've talked about that already multiple times, right? You heard the uncomfortable laughter when I gave my introduction in the hall just right over there. And I know some of you think, wow, this is way too uncomfortable. I could never have this conversation with my kids. I'm kind of uncomfortable with having it just with you, Greta, on the stage, listening to you. This is uncomfortable enough. And I get that. I've had all of those feelings, the knot in my stomach and just feeling like, oh, this is so difficult, this is so awkward with my own kids or with people like you. And along the way, I've definitely made some silly mistakes and faux pas because that's going to happen with a conversation that's so touchy and so awkward. I'm going to give you an example to sort of clear the air and make you feel like you couldn't have done any worse than me. So this happened a couple years ago when I was really just beginning to put out content about the topic of pornography. I was writing about it more. I had a podcast at the time, was speaking on my podcast, and starting to get lots of questions from people, especially online, because that's where I would interact with them the most on this topic. And I found that I was getting more questions and more conversations than I could keep up with. So I thought, okay, I need to compile all of the information that I have, the books that I know about, the podcasts people should listen to, all of it in one place. So when people have a question and I can't engage with them in that moment, I can direct them to this one spot where they can find everything they need. So I decided to create a, why am I blanking on the name right now? Highlight on my Instagram. So if you don't have Instagram, you don't know what that is. On Instagram, which is where I interact with people the most, there's these little round circles. And if you were to tap on that circle on my feed, you would see it would take you to all that information. Books that I recommend people read, things that they should listen to, articles, all of it in one handy place. So I worked for quite a while to put all the links in and to do all the work, and I was just so happy that I was going to have this wealth of helpful information for parents who needed it, because in the moment of crisis especially, you feel like, where do I go? And I was going to be able to help them. And so finally I finished, and I needed a title for my Instagram highlight on pornography. So I proudly labeled it Porn Resources! Exclamation point. And I went to bed. And then the next morning I woke up and there were a flood of messages from friends and caring strangers who said, Greta, that's probably not the best name for your Instagram highlight, because we know you, Greta. We know what you mean, your intention, but somebody else could be wildly confused when they came to your Instagram page. So all I could do was laugh and just do a facepalm and say, all right, I'm changing the title to Fight Porn! Exclamation point, and move on. So the point of the story is to say, we're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to say the wrong thing. We're going to feel awkward. We're going to maybe even embarrass ourselves or somebody else, but it's okay, because the thing that matters is we're still showing up for the conversation. And my Instagram highlight is still there, Fight Porn! Exclamation point. Now I have a Fight Porn 2! Exclamation point, because I have so much that I have out there for you as helpful resources. And you can feel free to look that up. I have a sheet of paper that I gave you guys. You should all have picked it up when you came in. If you didn't, we'll make sure you get one. And it's full of all the things that are on that Instagram highlight, if you're not an Instagram person or you just want to have something that's right here. I've got it divided up into books that you can look at and websites that I recommend you take a look at on the back page, because it's double-sided. You're not getting out of here without lots of help. I also have, and I have them divided up for you because some of them are more about like things like sex trafficking or helping victims of pornography around the world, websites that will help you talk to your kids about sex, podcasts you should listen to. And then in the bottom, the thing that people always want to know about, and we'll talk about it a little bit more, parental control software and apps. I only have a few listed because those are the ones that I've researched or used myself that I think are the best. If there's stuff on here that you didn't get and you want to ask me more, I'll be here afterwards and we can talk. I brought books for you guys to look at. Those books aren't for sale, they're for my personal collection. My poor kids, they said, my husband built bookshelves for me this year, like a whole wall. And they're like, Mom, do we have to have the porn section like right where everyone can see it when they walk in the house? And I'm like, what, are you embarrassed of my porn section? So that's my personal collection, the porn section. You can feel free to look at those books, because I think it's helpful for us to like actually look through them and see them, rather than just get the name and order on Amazon. So there's lots of help for you guys, lots of porn resources. I'm here to help. And the truth is, I never wanted to be the porn lady, which is what I have friends that call me now. That was not a nickname I ever wanted to have. But God sometimes says, go, and you have to say, okay. And that's why I'm here. And I want you to understand also that while I'm able to be lighthearted when I tell you a story about my faux pas and my awkwardness and weaving through that, I want you to understand that I know that pornography is also a very heavy topic. And it's laced with things like shame and anger and hurt and trauma and frustration and fear. And I want you to know that I understand those feelings. I know where some of you might be coming from. And I'm here with you in it. So if you are struggling with feelings of any of those kinds today, you're not alone, and God won't leave you there. He's walking with you in this journey. And I want you to know also that if you or your child, your spouse, or some other loved one is struggling with pornography right now, I want you to know also that that doesn't remove you from the conversation. God doesn't say, well, you're out, you can't talk about it, you can't help anyone. Instead, I want you to know that God is right there alongside of you in that really painful journey. And he can use the pain that has occurred in your life because of pornography as fuel for the fire to help you have that fire and to put it out in other people's lives. I want you to remember this verse that I love from Jeremiah 32:27. Jeremiah 32:27. God says, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? So if you're feeling like this is too hard because it's a battle I'm dealing with in my own life personally or with someone I love, or this is too hard because it's too awkward, or this is too hard because I know how difficult it is to get out of pornography addiction, whatever you're feeling is too hard, remember, God says, is anything too hard for me? And the answer to that, of course, is no. Now, a question I get a lot when I get started and someone asks me, well, what do you write about? What do you talk about? And I say pornography, and they're like, what? Why pornography? And I like to say that I have four reasons. You already heard four of them. I have four kids. James, William, Lily, and Davy. They're 17, 15, 13, and 10. And those were my first four reasons. And at first, I just really felt like, wow, I need to help them. I need to give them tools to grow up in a world that is permeated with pornography. How do I do this? But then as I started to learn and research more, I realized that there are a lot of other kids out there who need help too. So I also am here for your kids. And I'm here for my grandkids. And I'm here for your grandkids. Because the reality is the impact of pornography, it's not just a one and done thing. It's a lifelong impact. And so if I can give my kids the tools to have a positive and healthy sexual life right now as preteens and teens, then that's something they can carry into their marriage, and that's going to impact their kids. So it's a generational thing that we're dealing with, and it can be a generational thing that we're dealing with just for our kids, but I believe it actually is going to impact our kids and their kids and their kids. It's going to go on and on. We have the opportunity to make a positive ripple, a positive impact for good, by being here and fighting against pornography. Because the reality is pornography is an epidemic. And what I see is that it's not just impacting men, although a lot of people want to say, oh, pornography is a men's issue. It's impacting men and women, adults and children, pastors, Christians, elementary school students, all dealing with the devastating impact of pornography. And we don't have the luxury of sitting back and saying nothing. We have to step in to the fight. And so I want to give my kids and your kids a chance at a healthy sexual future, a healthy, happy marriage, and a faith that's not battered by self-loathing and addiction. We might think that the conversation is just about now, but like I said, we are actually stepping into this conversation to set our kids up for a lifetime of sexual wholeness. That's a big deal. This is a powerful conversation. And I want you to know also that I'm not a sex therapist, a child psychologist. I am a writer, but more than anything else, I'm a mom. And sometimes, especially at the beginning of this journey that God pushed me into, I felt like, well, God, I'm not really qualified for this. I'm just a mom. But I want you to remember that there is nothing a mom won't do to protect their kids, right? Dads too, but man, mama bears, don't mess with them. And so I and you are uniquely, uniquely and wonderfully prepared for this job because you want nothing more than to protect your kids or the kids that are in part of your life, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, the kids you work with at church. You care about them. You are uniquely equipped to protect them from danger. And that's why we're here today. So before I get into the practical part of our conversation, which that's going to come, I need to give you just a little bit of information about the world of pornography right now. Because if we are fighting an enemy, we need to know who we're up against. We need to know what we're fighting. And so the first thing you need to know is that pornography is being consumed online right now at a massive rate, more than any other time in history. 1 in 5 searches on a mobile device are for porn. 1 in 5. That's a lot. The Huffington Post reported that porn sites receive more traffic, regular traffic, than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined every single month. That's a lot. That's a lot, guys. Because of smartphones, especially, pornography is more easily accessible and available and widely used than ever before. And so we have to understand that because we need to know that pornography, if it impacts the consumer in a mental way, emotional way, spiritual, and even a physical way. We're going to talk about those 4 things. Because pornography is very addictive. So when we say, well, 1 in 5 searches on a mobile device is for porn, what does that really, does that really matter that much? I mean, people are looking at all kinds of stuff on their phone. But it's different to go look on your phone or your laptop, your tablet, and to look at pornography. It's different than looking at anything else because of its addictive quality. In fact, pornography has been likened to a drug like cocaine because what it does is it releases a feel-good chemical in your brain called dopamine. And dopamine tells your brain and your body like, oh, that felt good. Let's do that again. More, please. And so what happens is with continual use, your body wants more and craves more of that dopamine hit. And the really big deal about pornography is that it releases that feel-good chemical, but then it's also almost always, connected with masturbation. And when you couple this addictive chemical, this release of this feel-good chemical with masturbation, it becomes so, so overwhelmingly powerful, especially on developing adolescent brains. And so a lot of times in the past, people have said things like, well, everyone looks at pornography, but it's not that big of a deal. But the reality is for a young person, especially who's looking at pornography and they're battling that release of the chemical and the couple of the sexual activity, the masturbation, it is very difficult to break away. And so we have to understand that it does have that mental aspect, that mental connection going on in the brain. And we have to understand it's addictive. And so that's why, one of the reasons why it matters so much that we fight it. But it's not just teenagers who are looking at porn. It's happening in middle school and elementary school, too. I just read a stat not too long ago that said, let me make sure I say it right. Children under 10 years old account for 22% of online porn consumption in youth under 18 years old. Let me say that again because it's tricky. So if you have the bracket of 0 to 18, in that bigger bracket, kids under 10, 22% of kids under 10 are looking at porn already. I have a 10-year-old, and the thought of him engaging with pornography or even seeing it once or twice is devastating because his little brain is not equipped to handle that kind of content, and it's going to be damaging. The statistics right now say that 90% of kids ages 8 to 16 have already been exposed to pornography. So that's all four of my kids, maybe some of yours too. Statistically, that's the average. And the average first exposure is 11, but a lot of researchers are now saying as young as 8. And I know you guys don't want to hear that. I know it makes you hurt. I know it makes you angry. I know it makes you afraid. But the reason I'm telling you that is so that you will know how important it is for you to talk to your kids about pornography, so that if and when they see it, they know what to do. And they're not just paralyzed. They know how to handle it. Because the reality is, the nature of pornography has changed over time. There's an organization called X3 Watch, which is an organization that fights pornography. And this is what they say. The stuff kids are seeing today is more graphic, violent, deviant, and destructive than the pornography you or I may have encountered when we were young. And I read this book last year. It's called Raising Boys Who Respect Girls. It's a good book. And in it, the author cites a study. And he says that in this study, 30% of college men who identify themselves as respecters of women also admitted that they'd be willing to rape a woman if they knew they wouldn't get caught. And when I read that, I burst into tears because I couldn't help but feel so much pain for the girls that those boys are coming in contact with, but also for those boys, because how broken they are by the violent porn that they're watching, because that's what happens when you consume that sort of content, is it breaks apart your mental, emotional, and spiritual self, that you would be willing to do something so awful, so evil. And that should break all of our hearts, because see, pornography trains you to look at people as objects that you can use and abuse, rather than as humans who are meant to be celebrated and respected and honored. And we have to show our kids that that's the difference. We don't abuse and use people to please ourselves. We celebrate, honor, and respect them. We have to show them there's a different way. And those are some examples of the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual aspects of the impact of pornography on a person. But sometimes I hear from people and they say, oh, well, you're just religious, or you're just a prude, and so that's why those things matter to you, but you can't really prove them. You can't really prove those are true. That's just what someone says, or I need real facts. And so I always share with them that pornography can actually have a physical impact on the body as well. It's, of course, we know the mental, emotional, and spiritual impact matters very much. But it even has a physical impact on the body. And that's important to know, because our sexuality, it encompasses all of us. It encompasses us physically, but also emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And you can't separate those things out. So if you are walking in God's design for your sexuality, those things are going to be impacted in a positive, good, wonderful way. But if you step outside of the design, then you're going to have these negative effects. So physically, what can happen and what is happening for the first time in history to boys who are engaging in pornography, young men who would normally be at the height of their sexual for lack of a better word, prowess, right? They're like, you know, that they're it's the time of their life. That's when God created them to be the best sexually. Well, for the first time, young men, like in their early 20s or late teens, are struggling with erectile dysfunction. And I know that sounds weird. You're like, what? What is she talking about? But what's happening is that because their brains have been so conditioned to only be aroused by what they see on a screen, their bodies can't function anymore the way they were designed to function. In the past, erectile dysfunction was something that happened to much older men. But here are these young men who are healthy, and they can't perform sexually with a real-life person because their bodies are not working the way they were designed to work. That's not just a physical problem. It's a physical problem, and I'm sure they're not happy about it. But it's a relational problem, too. And that's a really important part of the pornography issue, is that pornography breaks relationships. See, those boys, those men can't connect with a real-life person. They've broken their ability to have real life connections. And that's one of the biggest problems with porn use and porn addiction, is that it's extremely isolating. And it leads, therefore, to things like depression and self-hatred, and it can even lead to something as awful as suicide, because it's breaking relationship. And we are meant to be in relationship. That's how God designed us to be. Sex is supposed to be an act between two people, not one person and a screen. Pornography is a broken way to engage in sex, and it's not God's design. And that's why I'm here with you guys, fighting for these kinds of conversations, not just with my kids, because we have lots of these conversations, probably more than they would wish sometimes, but also with you. That's why I'm here. To be able to have these conversations with you guys, because they really matter. We have to work together to give our kids something better. And the more that I research and write and talk about this, the more I realize that we're in a battle for our kids' minds, for their hearts, their emotional and sexual health, their future relationships, their marriages, and even their faith. I'm going to read another quote with you that sort of encapsulates all that. And it's from an author. His name is Matt Frad, and he wrote a book called The Porn Myth. And this is what he says. Few things in our society are more concerning than pornography. Research is just beginning to show how harmful it is. It's true. We're just at the tip of the iceberg for research about the impacts of pornography. We do know that pornography plays a role in sex trafficking, in child exploitation, and sexual violence, just like that quote I shared with you. Pornography also affects the developing brains of youth and shapes the sexual template of our entire society. We are seeing unprecedented levels of sexual dysfunction in many young men, and experts are attributing the trend to high levels of porn consumption. Yet, this is a part I want you to really, really focus on. Yet many of us have been duped into believing that pornography is healthy and even normal. And this is a really important part of the conversation that a lot of people miss out on. We live in a society that normalizes porn, trivializes porn, wants you to think, oh, it's no big deal. Everybody does it. I'm going to give you a couple examples. I call this living in a pornified culture, a culture that tells you, just, you're too uptight, you're religious, you're prude, you're Grandma Greta. That's another nickname I have. I never had nicknames when I was growing up. Greta is not really a nickname you can make, but now I have these names that I wouldn't choose. But nevertheless, you need to know that we live in a pornified culture that wants you to think it's no big deal. So let me give you some examples. How many of you have seen in social media posts when somebody posts a great picture of like their salad or a beautiful brunch and they use the hashtag food porn? Have you ever seen that before? Okay, good. I'm not that far out of the loop that no one's using it anymore. because some of my other examples I've been told are outdated, so I had to update. But food porn, people use that hashtag, right? They get a great, plate of spaghetti, food porn. And you think, well, what's the big deal, Greta? Why are you so uptight? Why do you make a big deal out of something like that? Because here's the thing. your breakfast, your salad, your beautiful lunch spread has nothing to do with pornography. And if we take the word and the idea of pornography and we minimize it down to a beautiful plate of vegetables, then we are saying pornography is no big deal. And maybe we as adults can discern that difference, but our kids are growing up in a world that says there's no difference between a great lunch and porn. There is a difference. And they might not be able to see it. And in fact, if they just get told that again and again, then they might begin to believe that themselves, that pornography is no big deal. It's being minimized. Here's another example. This one's a little harder to take. This happened a few months ago with Kraft mac and cheese. Who's the biggest consumer of Kraft mac and cheese besides the moms who are scraping out the leftovers of the pot, right? It's kids, right? Kids are eating Kraft mac and cheese. That's their biggest customer. And so Kraft decided to make this ad campaign for, I don't know if it was Friendship Day or something, but they created this campaign, and it was, you could have a box of Kraft mac and cheese sent to your friend for free if you just took a picture of yourself and the box and used the hashtag #SendNudes. And of course, they were very clever, and they spelled it N-O-O-D-S, send nudes. How fun, how funny, how silly. Sending nudes is not fun, funny, or silly. It actually can be against the law. It's very dangerous. We don't want any of our kids to send nudes, right? How could they use that in connection with their box of Kraft mac and cheese? But they did because they wanted to minimize and trivialize. They wanted to make it no big deal. I'm going to show you share one other example. This is from a book called A Student's Guide to Culture by two men, Brent Kunkel and John Stonestreet. It's a great book to read with your teens. This was their... a kind of a study they did. And they asked a bunch of students, what would bother you more? A, looking at porn, or B, throwing your plastic water bottle into the trash instead of a recycling bin? The majority of the students said it's more immoral to not recycle than it is to view porn. And we can laugh because that sounds so silly, but guys, think about the real life implication of that. They think it's more immoral to not recycle than to look at porn. That's growing up in a pornified culture, and that's the world our kids are growing up in. And if we don't understand that and we don't realize that's what they're growing up in, we can't equip them to fight against the lies of pornography. They're just going to accept it like waves washing over them, and they can't fight back. We have to give them the tools to fight back. And so that's what I want to talk about, because I want to respect your time, and I know we're coming up on the end here. I want to give you guys some real tools to take home to use with your family or your friends, the kids you work with at church, whoever, so that you can be able to help them fight against the pornified culture that they're living in. Because I really believe that with intentional conversations and preventative actions and diligent involvement, we can give our kids a fighting chance to resist the lies that are being spread and thrown at them, right? So I'm going to share 5 things that you can do. And you can write down notes if you want, or you can come talk to me some more afterwards. But 5 things that you can do. And the first one is to be informed. Now, you showed up here today, so that's the first step. You're getting informed about the impact of pornography, the world of pornography, the dangers. But I'm actually asking you to be informed about your kids. I want you to know, for example, what apps they're using. Because a lot of times they're like, oh, this is a cool app everybody's using. Can I have it? And the reality is apps like Twitter, Pinterest, I know their kids aren't using those, but Snapchat, they're full of pornography. They're full of sexual predators. So do you know what apps your kids are using? Do you know what video games your kids are playing? Video games are often full of over-sexualized images. And if your child is sitting there absorbing that day after day, they're starting to learn that it's okay to objectify a person and not see them as a whole human being, but just as a thing. Do you know what books your kids are reading? For girls, I would say more than boys, because we're so relational and we're really drawn to stories. Books can often be the first place that a girl gets kind of pulled into the world of porn. So if they're reading an erotic novel, or just if they're on social media, there are ads that will pop up and it'll show you like the first, I don't know, page or two of an erotic novel. And the title will be like, it's not even a novel, it's a story, like Falling for My Boyfriend's Dad. And your daughter's like, oh, what's this? And then they read it and they just start to get sucked in because it pulls you in. Are you aware of what they're reading? Be aware of what your kids are taking in, because whoever is feeding your kids, they're feeding them good or they're feeding them evil. And you need to be aware of that. So be informed about what your kid is ingesting. Use that handout I gave to you. There are some people on there. Let's see. On the back page, Cyber Safety Cop. He's a fantastic resource if you want to know what apps are okay for your kids to use or not. And Media Savvy Moms, Protect Young Eyes. Those are all great places for you to look up apps and video games and movies and shows. Be informed about what your kids are taking in. Okay, the next thing, be prepared. This is one of the easiest and most helpful things you can do to protect your kids from porn. I want to give one caveat, though. I need you to know that there's no such thing as like a porn force field. You can't put your kids in a porn-proof bubble. None of the things that I'm sharing are a guarantee that your kid won't encounter porn. Because even if they manage to get through their whole childhood and never encounter it, it might happen by the time they're 18 or 20. So instead of saying, oh, I just want to put this force field around them so they never encounter it, instead, we want to prepare them for what to do when they encounter it. So you have to give your kids a porn plan. I know that's such a weird word, but or weird title, but hey, I'm so great at weird titles, right? But you're not going to forget it. They need a porn plan. And so if they're little, and you think, I can't do it, there's some resources out there. There's books like this one, Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, and I have Good Pictures, Bad Pictures Junior over there for your kids that are like 6 to 10. And this helps you have a conversation with the kids about what pornography is and what to do if they see it. So I always say the three things that you can tell your kids for the porn plan is what pornography is. So give them a definition. It can be really basic, like pornography is pictures of people, pictures or movies of people with no clothes on, showing all their privates. We don't look at other people's privates, and so we don't look at pornography. Done. Give them a definition. Tell them where they might find it. Like somebody could show it to you when you're on the bus, or somebody could, an older brother, your friend's older brother or sister could show it to you on their phone. You might see it when you're playing a video game and a pop-up ad comes. You might find it on the tablet. So tell them where they might find it, and then tell them what to do when they see it. So if you see it on a phone or a tablet, turn it over, close the laptop. If somebody shows you, say, I don't want to look at that, and look away, and then physically remove yourself from the situation. So what it is, where they might find it, what to do if they see it, and then the fourth and most important is that they talk to you if they encounter it. And you need to make sure they know they aren't in trouble, you're not going to be mad at them, you're there to help them. That's your job, you're protecting them. Think about it like a fire drill, right? You want to help them if the emergency comes up. Now, if your kids are older, the porn plan still is in existence. It's just different. And the porn plan for your teens or young adults needs to be, pornography is tempting. And the devil knows that it's really tempting, and he's going to try to tempt you. So what are you going to do if you see pornography? What are you going to do if you go ahead and look at it? Who are you going to talk to? Give them a porn plan for that age. Tell them that they need to have accountability partners, or they need to step outside and be away from their device, go for a run, call a friend, listen to worship music. Give them practical things they can do if they encounter porn. We need to give our kids a porn plan when they're little and then through all of their growing up years, because that will help them respond in a positive way. Like I said, they won't be paralyzed. They'll know what to do because you've given them tools. All right, third thing, be compassionate. This is a really important one. And I think it's something that you can pray about even before your kids encounter pornography. What will your posture be if they come to you and say, "Mom, Dad, I've seen pornography"? How will you respond? Because your first response naturally might be one of fear or anger or frustration. And instead, if we can say to them, "I'm so sorry, babe. I'm so sorry. That is not what God designed sex to be like. And you must be hurting. I want to help you." And you touch them, you hold them, you pray with them. That gives them a sense that you are there to support them. I love what Julie Slattery says in this book right here. It's called Rethinking Sexuality. And I'm going to read this quote. She says, "People are looking for help for their addictions and hope for their broken hearts. They want living water. If we run away or become judgmental or uncomfortable anytime we see sexual pain, we will miss the greatest opportunities to enter the pain of their sexual brokenness and share the love of Jesus Christ." We think about sexual brokenness and we're so afraid of it. And instead, what if we change our posture to one of compassion and say, "Jesus loves you so much and so do I. How can I help you?" And that applies not just to when our kids come to us in their moment of brokenness, but also how we talk about people who are struggling with pornography. I'm going to give you a personal example that just happened a few weeks ago. I was driving with my two teenage sons, and this car pulled up next to us. And at first, when we looked at it, my boys, who are both artists, they love like cartooning. This car was covered with like cartoon drawings. And they're like, "Oh my gosh, that's so awesome. Look at that guy's car." And then we got like right next to it and we looked and they were all like really inappropriate, really like verging on pornographic drawings of women. And we were all like, "Oh my gosh, like what?" And my initial response was, "What a jerk. What is wrong with that guy? Why does he think that's okay to show that to my sons? What is wrong with him?" And that was my initial gut reaction. But instead, thank God, the Lord said to me, "Guys, why do you think he thinks it's okay to have those drawings on his car? Maybe no one ever taught him to respect women and not objectify them." Because if we say to our kids all the time, "Anybody who looks at porn is a gross and a pervert and I don't have any respect for them," why would they come to us when they've looked at porn, right? We have to have an attitude of compassion because we want our kids to be able to come to us and know that we love them no matter what the circumstances are, what they're dealing with. Be compassionate. Compassion pulls people to us rather than push them away, and that's what we want to do. All right. Two more things, guys. I know you want to go out there and throw some axes. We're almost done, especially after this. Pornography. Okay, the fourth thing is be different. And this is a hard one, guys. This is really hard because culture says pornography is no big deal. Everybody age 2 and up should have their own smartphone. They should have full access to the internet. Everybody should be able to do anything they want all the time. It's no big deal. Stop being so uptight. But what if you decide as a family to be different? What will that look like? Maybe you say, "In our family, kids don't get social media when they're 13, or they don't get their own smartphone when they turn 10, or we don't allow devices in rooms. We don't allow video games in rooms. We don't allow any tech in bedrooms." Or if kids go to their friend's house and they have unmonitored screen time, we say, "Actually, we don't allow unmonitored screen time, so your kid can come to our house." It's hard to be different. It's hard to have that conversation with another parent because they think you're judging them, right? And they think you're calling them out. It's hard. But if we want the best for our kids, we have to be willing to make hard choices. There's a book over there in my samples. It's called The Tech Wise Family by Andy Crouch. And he talks a lot about what it looks like to be different in the tech world. And it's not particularly just about pornography, but about what it looks like to be different with tech. And I think that that's important because when we are willing to be different with tech, we're putting up some blocks that will help our kids not have such easy access to pornography. Some other things that you can think about in terms of being different is choosing as a family not to watch movies or TV shows or listen to music that objectify people. They're out there and we make jokes about them all the time, or we look away, or we try to act like it didn't happen. Be willing to be different. Walk a different road in terms of tech and how you interact with it, how you let your kids interact with it, and also how you view other people and the content that people are putting out there and how you interact with that. All right, last thing, be connected. This is my favorite one because it's a little more positive. One of the best things that you can do to help protect your kids from pornography and to give them a healthy sexual future is to engage in relationship with them. Because remember I said earlier, pornography is a relational issue. It provides a false sense of relationship, a false picture of intimacy. But if you are engaged with your kids and you're interacting with them on the regular, intentionally and purposefully, you are showing them what real relationship looks like. And I'm going to do a shameless plug of my book right now. This book, Adventuring Together, I know, like she said in the introduction, this seems like a really different than pornography. The thing is, this book just came out last summer, and books take forever to write. And so when I started on the journey to write this book, I wasn't even talking about pornography in a public way. So my first passion is helping parents and kids connect. And if you feel like, oh, well, how do I connect with my kids in meaningful, purposeful ways? Well, you can get my book, Adventuring Together, and there's tons more out there. But it's really about showing our kids what real life relationships are, so that when they're given this fake picture of relationship that comes from pornography, they'll be able to discern the difference. All right, you have 5 action steps. Be informed, be prepared, remember that porn plan, be compassionate, be different, and be connected. And if you feel like this conversation's too hard, I don't know how to do it, come talk to me after. I'd be happy to give you some more tips, some helpful advice, porn resources, ! I'm here for you. I don't have all the answers, but I will look for answers and I will tell you what I've learned in my years of research on this. I'm going to close with a verse from the book of Romans, which has become my battle cry in the fight for porn, and I hope it encourages you too. And the verse is, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So we don't have to leave this room feeling defeated and like it's over, there's nothing I can do for my kids. The fact that you showed up today shows that you are on the way to overcoming evil with good. I hope that you will grab the resource handout. You'll use it. Take it home and share it with your friends. Invite other moms into this conversation. And I'm really grateful you guys showed up. I hope you have fun throwing axes or taking a nap or whatever you decide to do. Thank you for being here and fighting porn with me. I appreciate you guys. Thank you. Feel free to look at all of these. They're not, like I said, they're not for sale, but they're there for you to look at. My book is for sale. I have a few copies, but don't feel like you have to buy it. No pressure. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.